Acts chapter number 1. We're teaching through a series on Wednesday night, and we are called this series, The Attributes of the Abounding Church. I'm going to do a little bit of review of what we've covered so far, just mentioning them in introduction, but we're going to get into the number 6, the 6th attribute of the Abounding Church, Acts chapter number 1. And then we'll begin reading in verse number 6, Acts 1, verse 6. If you'll stand with me tonight for the reading of the Bible. The Bible says, "And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Heavenly Father, it's wonderful to read the words of your dear Son. Jesus, thank you that we can open the Bible and read exactly what you said and know that it is not just for those disciples that were there that day, but these are marching orders for the Church of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray as we focus on this very important attribute that you would help us, Lord, with the assistance of your Holy Spirit, to evaluate our own selves and to, Lord, if we need to improve in this area, Lord, we want to be pleasing to you above all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me review real quickly the 5 that we've already covered, because it's been a while since I've been able to continue the series. Number 1, the first attribute of the abounding church was the expectation of Christ's imminent return. And you know what? These first century Christians believed, they really believed that Jesus Christ was coming back in their lifetime. And it motivated them. It changed the way they looked at life. It helped them set priorities properly. It helped them and fueled them to the place where they were able to turn the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 2, the power of united prayer. As I think through each of these as a pastor, you know, and my responsibility is to oversee the church, then I've got to hold myself to account and say, am I providing leadership in all of these areas? And I did this again today where I went through the ones we've already covered, and I said, are we keeping the doctrine of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ preeminent enough in our church? I've often said how excited I am that God led that handful of people who founded this church. We'll celebrate the 50th anniversary next May to call the church Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I have to say this. I'm not saying we're doing a perfect job anywhere, and there's always room for improvement. But you won't come to church here very, very much or very often without hearing about Christ's imminent return. And the power of united prayer. Now, we're going to have a business meeting after the service tonight, but you know what our normal schedule would call for. It's important that we have that time where the church gathers together and for the sole purpose of prayer. I love the pastor's prayer team. And again, I'm not saying that how can you pray enough? I mean, I'm not saying there aren't other things we could do, but I love the fact that we have an emphasis on prayer. I think second year, it may have been third year of pastor, I chose as a theme the year of prayer. And we didn't start any new ministries that year, but we started prayer ministries connected to every ministry that we had without starting any new ministries and just connecting prayer to every single one of them. We saw the church grow more that year than probably any other year since then. And you know, folks, that tells me the importance of this matter of prayer. By the way, united prayer. How about let's do that on your bus before you take off? That group of Christians are getting ready to come on. Workers and bus driver and bus captain. Everything we do. I love sometimes coming through and I'll coming in a little late and the choir's getting ready to come in on both sides. And you know what? One of the ladies are on this side. The men are on this side. And you know what? One of the ladies will be leading that group of ladies in prayer before they walk out. Hey, that ought to be normal stuff. Hey, I never went in and said, now I need you to do this. You know what it is? It's a church listening to the teachings of God's word and saying, how can we implement prayer in every single thing that we do? How about that? Number 3, the seeking of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Boy, I can't reteach that, but folks, that has to be something, yes, that we want to experience corporately as a church, but this is such a personal thing and such a private thing. This must be individually sought by each and every one of us. You know what your preacher says? You can't be filled if you're already filled. And it's a constant battle to empty ourselves of sin and self and get empty enough so that the Holy Spirit has the ability and the freedom and the liberty to work in our lives. And it's something you have to pursue. It's not a one-time done thing. Did it? I don't have to worry about it. This is a constant pursuit of a personal relationship with the Spirit of God. Number four, plain, pointed, and powerful Bible preaching. Seems like the pulpits, you know, have turned into, you know, places where we give motivational speeches and all kinds of things. But folks, you know what? The more that the pulpits are toning it down, the more that America's going to hell in a handbasket. We just need old-fashioned, open the King James Holy Bible, read it, whatever it says, just preach it out loud, amen. And so, and then we seen the last time we gathered and taught on this, number five, indisputable public miracles. Now tonight, what an important attribute we're going to introduce. Number six, a determined commitment to evangelize the lost. A determined commitment to evangelize the lost. Jesus said this, but ye shall receive power. Come on, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, folks. We can't do it in our own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Sounds like Jesus has that expectation. You know what? He has a right to expect it from us. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. First century Christians took to heart Christ's great commission. Of course, we get other parts of this conversation where Jesus is talking to them on Mount Olivet before he ascends. Part of that we read in Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. In Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every. Hey, these are the last things Jesus is saying before he's getting out. Last orders, last marching orders. Hey, it's not just for the preacher, not just for the Sunday school teacher, not just for those crazy bus workers. It's for each and every single one of us. Luke 24, he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in the name, in his name, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Folks, over and over, the Bible records the command of Jesus Christ to take the message of the gospel to every person in every nation. Everywhere, every Christian is that in that first century church. Listen, every one of them saw it as their sacred duty. This is my sacred duty to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sharing the gospel is not a special calling for a few, but a command to each and every child of God. I enjoy listening to the three young men and Brother Josh. Thank you for figuring out a way to get that recorded out there while it was an outdoor service, and it is on our YouTube channel. You can listen to the three messages. And I love the fact that even though it was three different guys with three different personalities and three different types of messages, every single one of them, you know what, have been raised around Blessed Oak Baptist Church enough to get in that message, the need and the challenge to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They even taught me this thing called the both philosophy, where you're supposed to do it in your Jerusalem and in your Judea and in your Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Man, first time I'd ever heard that. I love that. You know what I mean this? You know what I love about it? They're getting it. They're getting it. Are you getting it? Come on, church. Are you getting it? Because I believe a small town church ought to have a worldwide impact. You know what we're doing? I mean, come on, preacher, what's the craziness behind the map and where did this Operation Occupation come? It came out of the book of Acts. Come on, by the time we get tonight, we can't wiggle out of it. I don't know anybody that's drawn a circle around and said we're going to hit every door and preacher, are you? Well, come on. Well, they did it. They did it. They filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. That was the complaint. You filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Folks, we can't wiggle out of it, okay? First century Christians took to heart Christ's great commission. Now, so many good things have happened, and you've watched it happen. Is there anybody here that's not excited when a soul gets saved? If you're not, let me just look right up here. If you're not, you need to examine whether or not you're truly saved. I mean, as backslidden as I ever got in my life, I still had a heart of joy when I saw somebody else get saved, even if I didn't have anything to do with it. Okay, this ought to be something that just beats in the heart of each and every one of us. Brother Jeff, come up here. You got that text. I want you to read this text. Yeah, a lady walked the aisle on Sunday. Give the back story of what happened Saturday, and then read the text and share a quick testimony. I want you to hear this, church.
Lady that we've been visiting for a long time, she's kind of bounced around here and there, and Jenny had went by to go visit on Saturday, and you know, hey, she's going through a hard time in life, and Jenny just got talking to her about her need of getting saved, and she's like, I know I need to do that, and Jenny's like, well, let's just do it now, and she's like, I need to go to the church and do this. And so Jenny called me. I ended up going by it. I talked to her, and she's like, no, I want to go to the church and do this. The only fear that you think about that is that, you know what, they're not going to come on Sunday. And you know what? What is going on in their heart and their life, you know what, you could miss that. Because, you know, everybody has that appointed time. But anyway, Sunday morning she texted me, hey, Wyatt's ready. And, you know, I mean, this is 8 o'clock. He's ready. And so we went by and picked him up. I said, Jenny, call her. And so Jenny called her. She's like, I'm in the shower. I'm getting ready. We're going to be there. And so, you know, hey, she comes Sunday school. And, you know, Brother Chad just put it so simple on, you know, I was not in here. Jenny told me that, you know, it made it so simple that, you know, Jesus is the gateway between man and the Lord. And then, you know, Brother Matt, man, he just hit right good on salvation, just dead on the money. And then, you know what, there was no push. There was nothing. And you know what, when invitation was given, she came right up. Jenny didn't have to go through a lot of the scripture. You know what, it was already put there. It was her time. And you know what, she just clearly asked Jesus to save her and to forgive her from her sins. And, you know, just the change. But this is the thing that, you know something's happened in their heart. Because, you know, she sent this to Jenny this week. And she said, hey, I want to let you know that ever since Sunday and everybody praying for me, then I get to keep my apartment. You know what? Not only that, but you know what? Bad people in my life that were wishing bad onto me, you know what? Things that happened to them, and they're in jail right now. And then it just goes into, you know what? I just want to thank you all for doing what you do and encouraging me to come, praying for us, and never giving up on me, even when I was active in addiction. I will definitely be seeing you guys next Sunday, and I'm really looking forward to this journey in our life. You guys are really, really good people. I'm glad we have crossed these paths. I think it was all for a reason. All for a reason, brother. All for a reason.
Come on now. I don't put a smile on your face. I don't know what to help you with anymore on that, you know. Brother Levi was so excited about what happened last Friday night at that teen activity. And he told me, he said, text me and said, hey, two young men got saved. Send a picture of them being dealt with to my phone. You don't think that blessed the preacher? And he said, I got to stop by and just tell you how God made it so evident this is a team effort. I want you to hear this. It's a team effort. He said the reason these two boys came, watch this. Brother Gordon, Chad Gordon, was out doing his Operation Occupation area. Ran into some kids that used to live in town and rode the bus years ago, but hadn't come in forever. Teenagers now. They got excited about coming, started inviting a bunch of their friends to come. The bus ministry introduced them to Blessed Hope First. Operation Occupation found them. And then a Sunday school teacher got the information, went over and visited them and invited them to a teen activity. Somebody took the trouble to drive clear down there to make sure them and their friends got there. Two young men received Christ as their Savior. One of their friends that wanted to come but couldn't come on Friday came Sunday morning with them. He received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Then, you know, what about our children's church ministry? We had a young lady, and this is an incredible story. Folks, listen to me. You'd think God was involved with this if you wasn't careful, you know. You know what? You don't like this kind of church? Listen to me. I mean it. I'm tired of people criticizing this church. I'm tired of a bunch of people that sit in deadhead churches and never see anybody saved and never make an eternal impact and live like the world, look like the world, act like the world, and they want to criticize us. You know what? Criticize all you want. You know what? We're following the King James Holy Bible. I believe we're trying to be like the Church of Acts. You know, and listen, this young lady rides the bus. Which bus did she ride? Rode from Linton. And from Ohio. Lives in Ohio. Came to Linton to visit friends and family. Was here one weekend. Somehow got on a bus. And Brother Young goes out there. Sunday school teacher, no doubt. Shared a Bible lesson. Went out to children's church. He preaches a salvation message. And that young lady comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know what? Chase the world if you want to. You know, work your job. You're too busy. Chase every hobby. Don't have time to go sowing. It can't be an operation occupation. Can't do this. Can't do that. Because your precious life is so important. Then go ahead. Okay? Go ahead. But I'm telling you, it wasn't just one person that made these things happen. It takes everybody. And if we decide, listen, here's the attribute. A determined commitment to evangelize the lost. A determined, if a church does not have a determined commitment, this is the hardest thing to do and the easiest thing not to do. Come on, both in your life and mine, individually, it is so easy to get so busy that you just never pass out a track and you never witness anybody and you never invite somebody to church. And I'm glad that you come here and I hope we're a blessing to you, but shame on you. That you have a circle of influence and you're using none of that influence to try to bring people to Christ. And you know what? Get out of your selfish mindset. Okay? Re-examine your life. Get your life prioritized. People going to heaven instead of hell is pretty important. Come on. And so one of the things we need to re-energize. I think we're doing a good job. I've tried to lead by example. Folks, I don't take just one section. I take two. By the way, I finished it out and worked hard to finish my first section and finished it out the Saturday before I started chemo on Monday. Okay, I'm knocking on doors, talking to people, getting ready to start chemo in 2 days. You know why? Because I think it's important. Because I have a determined commitment in my life to be involved in getting the gospel to as many people as possible. And this is what this church did. I love this. Guess what? The devil don't like it. So he begins to fight against it in Acts chapter 4. Turn over there and look at verse number 13. So number one, first century Christians took to heart Christ's great commission. Number two, first century Christians ignored men's attempts to forbid them from preaching. Here comes the persecution. Verse 13, I won't read all of it, but you know what? You know they got accosted and they got challenged and they had, the Bible says, and they laid hands on them. Verse 13, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Jump down to verse 19, but Peter and John answering them and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you is more than to God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In verse 17, you know what they did? They said, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth no more in his name. Listen, you know what? You got to understand, if you're going to live this kind of life and you're going to be a witness for Christ, the devil's going to try to stop you. I mean, and he does all kinds of things. Folks, listen, about once a month, I'll walk into my office or Cheryl will say, you need to come listen to something on a answer machine. And somebody, you know, is mad because we hung a packet on a door. I mean, where they've cussed and left things and said, this is my address. And if you ever come back, well, you know what we ought to do? Because we get about 12 negative calls a year, you know, if that, 10 to 12, you know what we ought to do? We ought to just stop because it's probably doing more harm than good. And no, it's not. Right. Good night. Who cares? Right. Man alive, every week, come with me 1 week. I don't ever go out a week where I don't get somebody mad at me. Not because I'm being inappropriate, not because I'm being unkind. You know, I think if it really bothers somebody that bad that somebody knocks on their doors and tries to talk to them about Jesus, they ought to figure out what's going on in their heart and their life. especially when they claim to be Christians and they're mad at me. I don't know. They don't know the same Jesus I know, you know. But you know what? It's going to happen. I mean, there's been things that happened during 2020. There's been things that have happened throughout the history of this. I could tell you a story. Christian young lady in our public school being told she can't read her Bible during lunch because it might make other young people uncomfortable. Getting pulled into the principal's office for another young lady that used to come to our church in bus ministry years ago, pulled in the principal's office and told she couldn't pass out gospel tracts. She's got every right to pass out gospel tracts. Every right. Every right. Christian elementary student rebuked for passing out gospel tracts on the bus. Attempt to limit or ban door-to-door soul winning during due to health risks. You know, and folks, that was a trial run by the devil. That was a trial run by the devil. And, you know, again, I've said it very honestly. I don't know of a preacher in America I've talked to that can look me in the eye and say, "Preacher, during that whole COVID thing, I feel like we got it all right." And I'm certainly not the one saying that. But you know what, folks? By the way, look at what Blessed Hope Baptist Church did. Okay, I get it. March, April, we went to live stream and had some parking lot stuff. You know what? 1st of May, I told our church, and we met with our men every Tuesday night for prayer. And at the end of that time, I said, you know what? I'm figuring out what this thing is and what it is. And you know what, folks? The Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I said, May, first Sunday in May, we're going back to church. You know, governor can say what he wants to, not say what he wants to. You know, at some point, folks, we got to obey God rather than man. You know what? So first Sunday in May, you know what we did? We started church. And you know what part of what our church does? Run buses. So people can't believe. I tell this around I don't ever say it from the pulpit when I'm preaching out because I'm not trying to embarrass anybody else. Every preacher had to decide. But you know, when people hear that we were running buses in May of 2020, they cannot believe it. We had vacation Bible school in June of 2020. You say, well, nobody came. Well, you weren't here. Those parents have been trapped in that home with all of them kids. There's a bus that'll come get them here. Man, we about set records, you know. Started the 1st of June, door-to-door sewing. I went out and hit 100 doors and wanted to see what the reaction was. Had one person upset. Well, I get one person upset when it wasn't COVID, so why not go? 99 seemed pretty glad to see me. Did we use some common sense? Yes, and we should have used some common sense. We put everything in a plastic bag, hung it on the door, knocked. I didn't take a step or two back like we teach normally. I got off the porch and was standing in the middle of the yard when they came. And they'd come to the door. You know, everybody... Isn't it terrible? The spirit of fear does not come from the Lord. That doesn't come from God. Okay? But they'd come and open the door, and I'd say, hey, I know everybody's being careful. I'm a Baptist preacher. I hung some things on your door that I hope will encourage you. Honestly, we're coming by and checking on people. Are you doing all right? Anything we can pray about? And they immediately, I mean, 9 out of 10 would immediately step out on the front porch and begin to tell about things going on in their lives and somebody they know that's sick or somebody that, and be able to sit there in the front yard, you know, good night, I'm 25 feet away from. Again, let's use common sense. You know, people are scared, but that doesn't mean we stop. That doesn't mean we stop doing. There's always going to be an attempt by the devil to try to limit the Church of Jesus Christ from doing what we do. And what we've got to do is get a Book of Acts mentality about it. Laws are being proposed that would outlaw preaching of some parts of the Bible. Folks, that's coming to America, and it's already in America, labeling those passages as hate speech. Story of a Christian lady rebuked and threatened for passing out gospel tracts while standing on a public sidewalk. Her tormentor yelled at her, "You cannot do that. This is America." COVID-19 executive mandates infringing on our religious freedoms and our First Amendment right to peaceably assemble. Right. Yes, sir. Yeah. National leaders who believe they now have the right to tell churches when, where, and how they can assemble to worship. Excuse me. Right. You know what? Why is this separation church and state only a one-way street? Right. You don't want us in your business. Don't come in here and try to get in my business. Right. Christian women out sowing happened in Bourbonnais, Brother Angel's church, accosted by local police who demanded to see their driver's license and photograph their vehicles and their license plates just for knocking on doors in Bourbonnais. These things are not happening in a communist country. They're happening in America. What are you doing? I'm telling America, you better get a spine. You better get some courage. It's going to be harder and harder. We're getting more and more challenged for what we have done and always done for 49 years here and are not going to stop doing. They're not happening in a communist country. They're happening in America. Christians today need to learn something from first century Christians. Come on. Those men and women refuse to be intimidated by those in public authority. They better understand that all human authority is limited authority. And there's some lines you don't cross. And you know what? You can pass every law you want to and every mandate you want to. But if you pass a law or a mandate that tells me I cannot do something the Bible tells me that I must do, then you know what? Let's learn from COVID-19. I'm not ignorant anymore. You're not ignorant anymore. You know what I said? Never again. I don't know how they're going to package it next time. Never again. Never again. You heard your preacher say it. Never again. Okay? We're going to church. We're going to keep doing what God told us to do. And so what we need to understand, the devil might be a little more sneaky in the way he's doing it, but it's coming from the same source, okay? Number three, first century Christians used persecution to fuel the flames of evangelism. Folks, look at Acts chapter number 8. Just move over there for just a second. Acts chapter number 8. What was happening? How bad did it get in Acts, brother? You got to put a mask on. No, they were a little more than that going on. Saul was consenting. First verse, Saul was consenting unto his death. Martyred Stephen in chapter 7. Deacon of the church stoned to death for public preaching. At that time there was what's the next two words? Great persecution. Get ready, church. Hey, what we just went through, that wasn't a great persecution. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Doesn't mean there isn't a great persecution coming. Against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Yep, I'd say that's great persecution. We haven't suffered like that here. Look at verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. What? Come on. The church was born in a time of intense persecution. Roman Empire was against the spreading of this new religion. The Orthodox Jews were harassing, arresting those who followed and preached the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian men and women. Folks, come on. This is what the Bible teaches. We're being put into prison for witnessing. Some, including Stephen, were even being killed. Yet these early Christians just kept on preaching the word. Persecution scattered them, but it did not silence them. Again, what would it take? Here's the question that we'll leave tonight. What would it take to silence you? What would it take to silence you? Persecution should not extinguish the flames of evangelism. It should fuel the flames of evangelism. How about Paul's declaration in Philippians chapter 1? According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Listen. Whether it be by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Can American Christians even understand these verses? What have we become? I mean, are we ready for whatever the devil throws? Are we ready just to say this one thing we do? You know what? We have an obligation to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. First century Christians, they made soul winning and witnessing a daily duty. In Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I think that every one of you would be helped if you would participate in some kind of a soul-winning ministry here at the church. There's an encouragement and accountability that comes with it, and I think helps us all. However, witnessing is not something that should be limited to just a few hours a week. The first century Christians made the spreading of the gospel a daily event. It was just integrated into their life. Whatever I'm going to do today, whatever's on the to-do list, wherever I got to go, in some way, somehow, Lord, open doors and allow me to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now listen, look right up here. You can do it. I want to be an encouragement as we close. You can do it. Oh, preacher, you don't know my personality. You don't know. I about have a heart attack. I'm ashamed, but you can do it. You can do it. You can stop right by that door. I'm talking about someone who's never witnessed. You can stop right before you go out that door, grab a handful of tracts and say, take five tracts and say, Lord, between now and Sunday, you got to help me. But I want to hand these to somebody that I think is lost. You can do it. You can be a part of this. And you know what? I find out this, that if a church will stand up for Jesus Christ, you know what? Jesus will stand up for that church. So let's keep doing what we're doing, church. Let's keep doing what we're doing. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for meeting with us and all that we've experienced. And Lord, yes, preacher said what I said, and we are slowing some things down and won't maybe not have a lot of extra things going on at the church. But Lord, we're not canceling visitation. We're not canceling soul winning. We're not parking buses. Lord, we want to do as much or more in our own personal lives. Just, Lord, help us to be aware. The beautiful song, Lead Me to Some Soul Today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. And I just believe, Lord, if we left here with that song in our hearts and that prayer in our lips, that you have an amazing way to just use us. Nothing more exciting to be able to see someone saved and to think I had just a little part of that. I had a little part. God, let me have a little part of that. And so, Lord Jesus, thank you. Keep our hearts hot, burning, on fire for souls. We pray this in Jesus' name.